Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, as we concluded 2019, we considered attitudes for a new year, and we finished by reading verses from 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to start this week. Let's take a look at 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because we are called of God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we live a life that is a spiritual existence living within this physical body. That means more so than other people who only live within a physical body, who know only lust. We have the spiritual knowledge and relationship with God and Jesus Christ that is based on faith. Faith is the foundation of everything that we do. With the idea of faith in 2020, we're also going to be in future weeks looking at virtue in verse 5, where it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and then add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. So it's one thing to be called of God and to have a spiritual existence based on faith. But what Peter tells us in this section of his second epistle is that beyond faith, we have to add many, many more things. But the foundation of what it is we need to do is faith. And when we consider faith, we sometimes overlook the very basic essence and concept of faith. For instance, what exactly is faith? That's a concept that is very well defined for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In verse 1, we have a great definition. Faith are things and the basis of what we hope for. And it's also based on something we have not yet seen. So when we have faith of our resurrection and the future coming kingdom of God, these are things we hope for. We have not yet seen them with our own eyes. That's the definition that we're given of with faith in Hebrews 11. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We understand the miraculous creation of the universe and the world in which we live, and the hand of God in the creation of everything that we know through our five senses. verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. There was this huge rivalry between Abel and Cain. And what we're told here in verse 4 is Abel acted out of faith, whereas Cain did not. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. It was through faith that God spared Enoch from death. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to have faith in our relationship with God, because God is the author and creator of everything we see, yet God is not somebody that we see and touch with our physical eyes. So there is this element of faith in everything that we do. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's not enough to be a haphazard Christian. We have to diligently seek God in everything we do. Let's look at verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So imagine you're Noah and you're told by God to build this ark when there would be no need for this big boat to be built. Noah was a man who followed through with what he was told, even though he likely faced ridicule, scorn, and condemnation from those that knew him. Faith requires us to put God first and to put Jesus Christ first above any people in our life. Let's consider Abraham. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. So when Abraham left his home country to go to the area we now know as Israel, he left without the modern conveniences and knowledges that we would have as we would leave on a journey today. If I'm going to Israel today, I'm pulling up a lot of information on the internet, social media. I'm going to have a good idea of where I'm going and what I'm going to be doing when I'm there. Abraham had none of that. He went out in faith, trusting God. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left his home country looking for this new Jerusalem that we think of and that we have beautifully described for us in the latter chapters of the book of Revelation. Abraham had faith in God that this would happen. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was a very old lady when she had Isaac, and she did not believe that she would be able to have children. it was an act of faith that caused that. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Through faith, the children of Israel became a nation. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The last time I looked at a country afar off was when I was traveling through the U.S. state of Washington, looking across the body of water into what would be part of Canada. And that was miles and miles and miles away. That's the closest I've had to that. And yet in verse 13, we are told that people die in faith, not having received the promises, only looking at them afar off. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. When we are called by God and given this opportunity to know God and Jesus Christ through faith, we cannot go back to our prior existence. There's this story from the book of Genesis. Lot's wife looked back and God turned her into this pillar of salt. When we're called by God, we have one direction to move, and that's forward in life, looking forward to this promise that is afar off. But now, verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So imagine you have a child that is miraculously born to you through your wife who is very old. And then as that child grows and matures, God gives you this direction to offer your son as a burnt offering and a sacrifice. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also had received him in a figure. Abraham knew that God would deliver on his promise, no matter how much God would try him. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Every story that we read in the Old Testament can be looked at as a story of faith. And as we read these stories of the patriarchs of the Bible, and if you read them carefully and honestly, you see that these are people who were people of faith, yet they were also people who were very much like you and me, very frail as a person, very vulnerable to all of the emotions, concerns, and fears that people naturally have in their life. And yet, they listen to God, they obey God, they are people of faith. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do so were drowned. It would take an incredible act of faith to walk through this dry area of ocean, wondering when the waters might come crashing back down on you. There are many thoughts as to maybe how this happened. What we know from the Bible is that Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and God caused the sea to recede by a strong east wind. So there was wind that caused that event, and that's what the Bible records for us. But it was an act of faith that allowed all of that to happen, because if the people would not have believed God, they would have stayed right there on the shore of the Red Sea. They would have been captured and killed by the Egyptians. The Egyptians followed the children of Israel into the Red Sea, and as soon as the children of Israel made it to the other side, the Egyptians were drowned because they did not have the faith in God as the children of Israel had. As the children of Israel wandered around in the desert, they came across different cities, including the city of Jericho. Let's look at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after their work compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. The children of Israel were given specific instructions about what to do with Jericho, including marching about the city 7 days. And after that 7th day, the city fell. Rahab the harlot was spared because of her faith. She received the spies in peace when the others living within the city would have slaughtered the spies. There are many, many, many more stories that we can examine. And all of these stories from the Old Testament and even stories from the New Testament can be looked at from this lens of faith. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. When we read Hebrews 11 and we're reminded of all of these acts of faith, we need to be mindful of how our actions may be thought of in the future. There will be this future time of judgment. Judgment may now be on the house of God. but that judgment will be rendered at this future date. What will God and Jesus Christ say of our actions today? Will our actions today be thought of as acts of faith? Or will our actions today be thought of acts of disbelief? We need to make sure that what we do in life is based in faith. Faith is based in belief. It's based in belief of things that we hope for that we do not see. That's what Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Let's consider what John wrote in his first epistle. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. If we believe that Jesus is our Savior, that is the bottom element of faith that is required of salvation. We are, in this case, the words born of God. And born in the sense of being begotten of God, awaiting our resurrection. And everyone that loveth him that begat, the person that is described here as who begat is God, loveth him that also is begotten of him. So if we believe that Jesus is our Messiah, we have to love God the Father as well as Jesus Christ. We cannot love one or the other while ignoring the other party. So we have to love both God and Jesus Christ and recognize that Jesus is our Savior. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. There's this whole thought with Christianity that we can toss out the commandments of God. And yet, that thought is contradicted by these verses. We love the children of God. We love Jesus Christ. We love God and keep his commandments. So in other words, in order to love Jesus Christ and other Christians, we have to love God and keep his commands. And loving God is demonstrated in verse 3 by keeping his commandments. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Nothing else helps us to overcome the world but our faith. Everything begins with faith. In the end, when we overcome the world, it is because of our faith. We are not overcome by this world. We do not succumb to the evils of this world. Faith is our anchor that we can latch onto in a rough sea. Faith is a guidepost as we walk through life. And as long as we see that guidepost of faith, we know where we are in relationship to our calling. Faith is not something that we can ignore. Salvation does not come to us simply because we are more stubborn than the evils of this world. We are saved because of our faith and our ability to understand that Jesus is our Messiah and Savior, and that we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Without understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is our Savior, there is no opportunity for us to overcome this world. There would be no opportunity for us to be spiritually saved. When we think of being saved, we think of it as the righteous who are saved. Righteousness comes through faith. There is nothing that we do of and by ourselves that is righteous. We might be a good person according to this world, the way the world evaluates good and evil, but the way that the world evaluates good and evil in no way makes us righteous or unrighteous in the eyes of God. Only God, and through our relationship with Jesus Christ, can evaluate if we are living a righteous life. Let's take a look at what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 10, verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In these first few verses of Romans 10, Paul tells us that we cannot make ourselves righteousness based on our own standards or the standards of society, or even the standards that a church might impose. God's standards of righteousness is based on faith in Jesus Christ, and anything else is phony. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In the Old Testament, under the law of God, if you wanted to be saved, you had to do everything in the commandments, in the sacrifices, in the ordinances, because if you didn't do one of those things, you could not be saved. The relationship with Jesus Christ took away the penalty from all of those ceremonial obligations, because Jesus Christ died once for all. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead, but what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior will be saved. That's what these verses are saying. It is not our place as Christians to judge others. You know, obviously, as first century apostolic Christians, we follow a faith that we believe is very much aligned to what would have been followed by the apostles in the first century. We are not here to condemn or judge other Christians who would believe differently than we would believe. We're not in a position to judge any person, because verse 11 says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And we are nobody to contradict what is written in the Bible. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, we have this promise of salvation for all people. When God worked with the children of Israel in the time period we would call the Old Testament, he was only working with the children of Israel. And when Jesus Christ died, salvation opened up for all people. Let's look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The children of Israel rejected God. That's why there were so many punishments they went through in captivities. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have faith in God unless somehow you have heard about God. That's a very natural progression. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. In the New Testament, during the time of his ministry, there came a time when Jesus healed a boy who had a demon. And there is a story of the mustard seed within that story that is used as an example of faith. Let's take a look at that story as Matthew recorded it in Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So here was a person who acted very unusually. This was somebody who fell into the fire, fell into water, and according to the story, this was caused not because of any kind of a mental illness, but because of demonic possession. And the disciples weren't able to cast out this demon. And Jesus very quickly was able to cast out the demon. It happened that very same hour in verse 18. Let's look at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. They came to him separately and said, why could not we cast him out? So they've been with Jesus. They knew how Jesus operated, and yet they themselves could not cast out the demon. And notice what Jesus told them in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. The disciples lacked faith. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. The disciples lacked faith to cast out the demon. They knew what to do, to pray, the words to say, but they did not actually believe that they could cast out the demon. And then notice verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes our faith requires us to take additional actions. Prayer and fasting are spiritual tools that we can use to draw closer to God. And the disciples were not sufficiently close to God to have the faith that was necessary to cast out the demon in this particular story from the time of Jesus' ministry. Faith requires action on our part. And that's also another thread and segment that we see in the New Testament. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And what this section of 1 Corinthians tells us is that what we do in faith has to be based on the power of God. What we do in faith is never based in the wisdom of men. Let's notice verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So Paul did not consider himself to be the greatest speaker. He didn't consider himself to be the wisest person when he came to declare the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. There are many fantastic ministers who can use the most wonderful words and phrases to suck people in. And people are not being sucked in to the power of faith. They are not being sucked into the wisdom that is of God. Instead, they are being sucked in to the wisdom of man that is personified in the person that they are listening to. It's incumbent upon each of us to make sure that when we are hearing the word of God, that we are hearing the word of God as the Bible would have us hear the word of God, and not by any man. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we read the Bible, when we think of faith, it is always based on the power of God. It is not based on what any man will say. Today we've been talking about faith and the importance of faith in our life. Is faith sufficient for salvation? Let's consider what James wrote in his epistle. James may be one of the epistles that is towards the end of the New Testament, but chronologically, it was one of the first epistles written after the time of Jesus. Let's take a look at James 2, verse 14. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That's a great question. Let's look at an example that James gives in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Many people will look at verses 15 through 17 and think that faith requires us to always serve other people and to give of ourselves to other people. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, And as much as we are able to help other people, that is what we are to do. But verses 15, 16, and 17 are given to us as an example. If you will, the story to teach us a lesson. But it is not the lesson itself. What's most important is verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If we have faith, we're going to do something with that faith. What is it we are going to do? It's called works. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What are works? The Greek word for works is ergon, from which we would get the word ergonomics, which is the study of efficiency in a work environment. Works are things that we do. And through context, we'll take a look at exactly what the people did that were considered works. Sometimes people think that works are sacrificing yourself and totally serving other people. There's nothing wrong with that, and that definitely can fit within the definition of works. There's much more to that. Verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Having faith that there's God is insufficient because the demons also believe. But wilt thou, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? So do you notice Abraham was given a command to offer his son upon the altar, and Abraham obeyed. Abraham had obedience. Let's look at verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers that had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we have not seen. We know that the stories of the Old Testament are there and can be looked at to see how faith played an important part in the lives of the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the Old Testament. We know that it is our faith in Jesus Christ that will help us overcome the world. We also know that faith is the very baseline of our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, and that faith without works is dead. We know as we grow in faith, we will add other elements to our Christian life. We'll look at those other elements in the next several weeks. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.